Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
We are glad that we're able this morning to come into His presence, experience His touch, His ministering to our hearts. How many knows this morning the needs may be very vast and different among us, but how many knows that the Holy Spirit can move and He can operate and He can begin to minister to each of those needs accordingly this morning? Amen. I believe that He has already begun to do that. Through private times of prayer and reflection, meditation, the reading of God's word, personal worship, I always try to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit so that I never miss His wisdom, so that I never miss His instruction, His revelation. And to be honest with you, I always listen because I never want to even miss His correction or His conviction, amen? Because sometimes what we need the most in that moment isn't necessarily just revelation or wisdom, but sometimes we need to have a course correct. Sometimes we need that conviction operating in our lives. As a result of trying to always be open and always be listening, I guess I hear a lot. I don't know. I'm weird. All right, anybody else weird this morning? And so I choose to, in those moments, I write things down. And so I have sticky notes everywhere. And not just sticky notes, but I have pieces of scrap paper that I've tucked into books or different places. And I've got scrap pieces of paper and sticky notes in my Bibles. And I've got notes on my phone that I've typed into it. And so with that, I also try to make sure that I feed myself. How many knows if we're only coming and eating on Sunday and Wednesday, we're starving? Okay, I'll say that again. It has nothing to do necessarily with what I'm going to preach this morning. But if you're coming and your only spiritual diet is on Sunday and or Wednesday, you're missing out. Amen? And so even for myself, I could very easily say, well, I spend the majority of my week preparing to feed the body. But how many knows that's not good enough, all right? Even I have to take time for just that personal element of spiritual life and growth. So in addition to trying to always listen to the Holy Spirit, I also, I follow a couple of specific pastors that I personally enjoy, but I enjoy them because they're not like me, all right? And not only are they not like me, they also, they challenge me in the truth of God's word. How many knows if we're just there to feel good? Come on. We need to be challenged. We need to be stretched. And so these men do that in my life. And again, I do that so I personally can be fed, so that I can glean and grow in my own spiritual walk. So in doing so, I came across a message from Pastor Brad Kerrigan. He's a pastor down in Euless, Texas, all right? And we love Pastor, well, I say we, I do. I love Pastor Brad because I know him. And Katie and Zach, that was where they were while they were in college. He did a wonderful job shepherding them until they could return home like they're supposed to do. And I appreciate everybody. Let's just welcome Zach and Katie home, all right? Recent newlyweds, all right? So they took the plunge, and God is blessing in their lives, all right? But in listening to Pastor Brad, the message that I went back and listened, as I was mowing Thursday, it literally, the only way I have to explain it is that it became like this missing puzzle piece. And as I was mowing, I'm like, oh man, that is exactly what I've been looking for. And so this particular message began connecting several of my sticky notes and scrap pieces of paper and my phone notes. It began connecting many of my recent thoughts and prayers and helped me relate and focus them together. And so this morning, I'm going to try to relay that to you the best that I can. But in laying the groundwork today for where I believe that we will be going for the next few weeks or so, I have borrowed Pastor Brad's sermon title. So I'm not trying to take credit for that, all right? I did, in fact, borrow his sermon title. And I'm even going to use an analogy that he used that, again, was a wonderful analogy. There's even today going to be a few thoughts that were not original to me, but that he spoke them, and they just fell into direct harmony with where God had already been leading me. So I want to give Pastor Brad props. I'm not trying to steal anything from Pastor Brad, just using it for the ministry as the Lord sees fit. Amen? So for the next few weeks or so, I want us to be focusing on the remnant. Everybody say the remnant. While there are multiple Hebrew words and even some Greek words that define remnant, they can pretty much all be summed up very simply as this: that which is left over or remains. That which is left over or remains. What we need to understand is that God always keeps a remnant. All right? God always keeps a remnant. From Noah in Genesis all the way to what we see John the Revelator writing about the church, which is us. Everybody say, we're the church. In Revelation, from that entire time span, from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God always keeps and works through. Everybody say, works through. A remnant, all right? And so that is where I want us to begin to focus this morning. He always has a group of people who are faithful to the ways of God, faithful to the things of God, faithful to the character and nature and attributes of God. The remnant is made up of those who are willingly devoted to serving God as they stand before others as a witness and as an example that consistently points others back to the reality of God. How many know today what we need to do is we need to point more to God than to anything else? We need to point more to God than we do to a presidential candidate. I know that probably did not sit well with some, but it's the truth this morning, amen? How many knows we need to point to God above everything else in our lives this morning? Now, how many knows it's important to pray for our president, and it's important to pray for our leaders, and that God would put those in office who he deems needed for this moment. And that should be our prayer. Amen? You see, as Pastor Brad simply put, the remnant is a reflection of the original. The remnant is a reflection of the original. If you've ever seen carpet laid in your home or an office, what do? They bring in this huge roll, right? It's actually more than what you need. But because of shape and design, that roll is kind of laid out, and then it is cut to fit, correct? And then what happens is afterwards, you have remnants, right? And so what you usually do with that remnant is you roll it up and you stick it in your closet or your garage, because you're going to do something with it, but it's not really big enough to do anything with. But yet someday you may need that as an additional rug or whatever, right? But what happens to that which got laid? It gets dirty. It gets stained. The dog pees on it. Your three-year-old throws up on it. And you try to clean it to the best you can. But yet as time goes on, the sun bleaches it and it fades. But how many knows that if you were to go to the closet and pull out that remnant, it would be an exact replica of what the original was? It's still vibrant. It's still colorful. It doesn't smell like kids or dogs. It is new. It looks just like the original. It reflects the original. So I want that to kind of be in your heart and in your mind as we move forward, not just this morning, but in the next few weeks. Because as followers of Christ, we are to be that vibrant reflection and expression of the character and nature of God. How many are thankful that he came and he washed us clean so that we could be that vibrant reflection? Amen. Romans chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, it says this: "So then I ask you this question, did God really push aside and reject his people? Absolutely not. For I myself am a Jew, a descendant of Abraham from the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his chosen, destined people. Haven't you heard Elijah's testimony in the scriptures and how he prays to God, agonizing over Israel? Lord, they've murdered your prophets. They've demolished your altars. Now I'm the only one left and they want to kill me." Anybody ever feel like you're the only one left and everybody's out to get you? Verse 4, but what was the revelation that God spoke to him in response? Said, "You are not alone, for I have preserved a remnant for myself. 7,000 others who are faithful and have refused to worship Baal." In other words, they were doing what God had called them to do. Verse 5, and that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. Everybody say fulfillment. Now catch this last part. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant. This morning, I want you to speak to yourself and say, I am that remnant. You don't believe it yet. this morning, speak it like you believe it. I am that remnant. That's better. That's better. By the time we're done, everybody's going to be saved this morning. But what is it that we have been empowered to do? Because again, that seems like maybe an open-ended question given all of the truth that we find in God's word. And while we have in fact been empowered to do multiple things this morning, I want to simply focus on the fact that we have been empowered to intercede. Everybody say intercede. You see, to intercede means that we are given the power or the ability to intervene or to mediate on behalf of others with a view of helping them reconcile the differences in their lives. To intercede implies that we're acting on their behalf, even if they are the offender in the situation, and we're beginning to plead for them, again, mediate, beg for mercy and forgiveness on their behalf. How many knows it's easier to criticize than it is to intercede. We want to point fingers. God has not called us to point fingers, people. God has called us this morning to intercede. And I hope this morning that this resonates within your heart. As empowered, that empowered remnant this morning, how exactly do we intercede? What does that mean? What does it look like for us in our everyday lives? Does that mean that we do nothing more than just continually be on our face before the Lord? Well, it couldn't hurt. But how many knows we still have to live life? But how many know we can live life and still intercede for others? Amen. And so this morning, we need to understand what that looks like, because for us today, there is a very direct way, I believe, that we can intercede. There are three specific areas of intercession that I believe God laid on my heart for us this morning all to consider, to understand, and then to fulfill as his empowered remnant today. The first is the place of intercession. The place of intercession. The second is the position of intercession. The position. And then third is the power of intercession. And I want to go over those with you this morning. So the place of intercession, to kind of gain a perspective on that this morning, I want us to go to Esther chapter 4. Because in Esther chapter 4, we see that Mordecai has just learned that Haman has pulled a fast one over the king and has essentially paid, if you will, to have all of the Jews throughout the entire kingdom destroyed. Now, previous to that moment, we know that Esther, who was herself a Jew, had been selected through a certain process, all right, to become queen. And so she kind of won that ballot, if you will, all right? And at this point, she is attempting to now kind of find herself or settle into her new role as such. And so while all of this is going on, Mordecai, he hears of the devastating news of what Haman has done. And it says that he tears his clothes and he begins to weep bitterly because of what is transpiring for his people and for this generation. Esther hears about Mordecai and how he is responding to some form of news that he's received, and so she sends him new clothes, all right? How many know sometimes people try to help and it's the total wrong thing? She sends clothes, all right? And so Mordecai's like, I don't want your stinking clothes. He said, do you not know what we're going through? And so he refuses her gift. And so she sends a servant back out to find out what's really going on. She knew that if he refused the gift, something must be deeper than just a day-to-day level issue, if you will. So Mordecai basically tells the servant everything that's been going on. And he even sends back a copy of the decree or the paperwork permitting the destruction of the Jews. And along with that, Mordecai tells the servant to basically give Esther a message. And that is to basically, hey, step up and plead our case before the king. And you would think Esther would be like, yes, I sure will. I'll go talk to him right now. But that wasn't her first response. You see, her first response was, don't you know that I can be put to death if I try to go talk to him and he hasn't asked for me to come and talk to him? She's basically saying it's illegal, which, you know, again, we live in a wonderful democracy and we're like, well, that sounds real dumb. But how many knows you got to live by the law of the land? And this was the law of the land at the moment. And she knew she couldn't approach the king. So this brings us to verse 13. And let's check out what Mordecai's response is. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, Did not think to yourself that in your king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. In other words, he's saying, hey, remember, fool, you one of us. And it says all right? Verse 14, for if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. Again, remember, God always keeps a remnant. Amen? But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf. And do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then again went away and did everything that Esther had ordered him to do. Now, we understand today that they were all in a very dangerous situation, but there was this point that it came to where they could not be silent. And how many of us today, church, we're in a moment where we can't be silent? Amen? We have to declare the good news of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen? It's his kingdom. It's his kingdom agenda, amen? You see, today, we as the church, the remnant, cannot afford to become silent because we have been strategically placed in God's kingdom for such a time as this. We think we're born, I've said it before, man, I do not belong in this generation because they're jacked up and they're crazy and I don't understand them. I belong with the Mennonites and the Amish. That is me, heart of hearts, person of person. But guess what? God didn't place me in a Mennonite family. God didn't place me in an Amish family. God didn't place me in the 1800s, the 1900s, or any other time. He placed me in this moment for such a time as this. Today, he placed you in this moment for such a time as this, for this season, again, for this community, for this country, for this culture, for his purpose today, amen? And so we have to understand our place of intercession, and our place of intercession is here, and it is now. It's not down the road. It's not coming. We're not going to grow into it necessarily. It is here and it is now, and we need to be functioning in that ministry. Amen. It is no mistake today that you and I are living in all of the chaos that is 2020 and whatever else it may decide to bring for the next 6 months. I'm ready. I don't really care. We're in it. We're living it. But yet at the same time, we are living in the purpose that God has commissioned and ordained the church, the body of Christ, to be a part of for this very hour of history. It's not a mistake that you and I are here. It's not a mistake that we have a faith that is unshakable and unbreakable this morning. It's not a mistake that we're serving the living, risen God today. Amen? It's not a mistake. We're here because our place of intercession is for such a time as this, for this moment. You see, and that takes us, because knowing our place of intercession should better help us or help lead us to our position of intercession. Everybody say position. We see this exampled with Abraham when God comes to him with the news that Sodom and Gomorrah will be destroyed for their excessively gross indulgence and appetite for sin. I want to take you to Genesis chapter 18, and we're going to read a few verses, but I want to begin in verse 20. It says, so the Lord told Abraham, I have heard a great outcry from Sodom and Gomorrah because their sin is so flagrant. I am going down to see if their actions are as wicked as I have heard. If not, I want to know. Now, let's not make a mistake here of understanding that God needed to check with Abraham first. That's not what happened. God was including his remnant is what was happening. Amen. You see, it wasn't that God was completely unaware of what was going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was very much aware of it. He was just trying to include his remnant. Can I tell you today that God is not ignorant or absent from the things that are transpiring, even within the borders of this country? He's just waiting for the remnant to talk. He's waiting for the remnant to listen to what he has to say this morning. Amen. Let's go on, because I believe that as Abraham got this news, I believe his heart began to get excessively heavy and burdened, because he knew that Lot, his nephew, and all of Lot's family were still there, and they were living in Sodom and Gomorrah at that very moment. And I believe that that is when Abraham stepped into the position of intercession. How many knows if we never feel the need, we will never step into the position? If we continue to stick our head in the sands or continue to chase the non-issues that were seeming or essential issues, How many knows we're never going to get to that position of intercession because we won't feel the real need that is present today in this world? You see Genesis chapter 18 again. Let's go to verse 22. It says, the other men turned and headed towards Sodom, but the Lord remained with Abraham. Abraham approached him and said, will you sweep away both the righteous and the wicked? Suppose you find 50 righteous people living there in the city. Will you still sweep it away and not spare it for their sakes? Surely you wouldn't do such a thing, destroying the righteous along with the wicked. Why would you be treating the righteous and the wicked exactly the same? Surely you wouldn't do that. Now here's where he lays it on real thick. Should not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Come on, Abraham was interceding, right? He's pleading before the Lord. But listen to what the Lord says. Because Abraham took the time to listen, and then he took the time to intercede. The Lord responded like this. He said, if I find 50 righteous people in Sodom, I will spare the entire city for their sake. That's awesome, right? The Lord is willing to relent, right? You see, Abraham, again, knew the extreme sickness and sinfulness of Sodom and Gomorrah. He had visited. He didn't like it. He moved on, all right? He had witnessed it firsthand, so he began to, again, plead with the Lord for extended mercy. And again, he starts out at, hey, if there's just 50 righteous people living in this city, will you spare it? And the Lord just simply says, yeah, I'll spare it. Now, I think a lot of times in that moment, we would say, oh, sweet, the Lord's gonna spare it. And we move on. But you see, at this point, Abraham, like we maybe think sometimes, he could have stopped. He could have felt like, hey, I did the right thing. I interceded for the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord said if there were 50, he would relent. And so I can go to sleep tonight knowing I've done the right thing. How many know sometimes doing the right thing means we continue to intercede? Not we just intercede one time. You see, and as we find chapter 18 continuing, what we see is Abraham doesn't stop at 50. He continues to intercede because he knew the extremity of the need. The need was just so extreme that he knew, you know, I'm not sure there's 50 people in Sodom and Gomorrah. Anybody ever been there where you're like, you don't mean to pass judgment, and you're just reading fruit? It's okay to judge by fruit, right? Forget it. That's what the Bible says. That's a whole nother thing. So anyhow, he goes from 50 and he becomes like this reverse auctioneer. And so he pleads for 45 and the Lord says yes. Then he pleads for 40 and the Lord says yes. He pleads for 30 and the Lord says yes. He pleads for 20 and the Lord says yes. He pleads for 10 and the Lord says yes. And for the life of me, I have no idea why he stopped. I don't know why he stopped and he didn't say, well, Lord, will you do it for one? And I don't know if that was because he was afraid that Lot would not be found righteous or what. But you see, the point of it is he continued to intercede. It wasn't just a once and done so that he could feel good and feel like he had this checklist kind of marked off and could go on. So are we willing to position ourselves before a holy God and intercede on behalf of those who do not yet know him? Are we willing to intercede before a holy God for people who have basically known him and chosen to walk away? Are we willing to intercede for those who outright curse him and say he doesn't exist or he's horrible or he's whatever? Are we willing to intercede for those who are guilty and deserving of their destruction? Are we willing to do that? Because, you know, at one point, how many of us, we were guilty of our destruction? But yet God sent someone, amen? Our place of intercession is for such a time as this. And our position of intercession should be relentless as we move forward. And understanding our place and our position of intercession, we must also understand the power of intercession this morning. Power meaning this, the possession of ability to wield force, authority, and or influence. The ability to wield force, authority, and or influence. Now, please don't misunderstand me this morning. The power of intercession comes from God and God alone. Amen? From the Holy Spirit, from working in us, from the Word of God working in us as we remain humble and obedient. Everybody say humble and obedient. Again, the word declares that it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But we have to also understand this element of power and authority and possessing it, because we have been given the power and authority. Jesus himself told us, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And when you look up that word keys, it literally just signifies and denotes power and authority. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus again instructing the disciples and the followers who were there at that time, he says, look, I have been given all authority in heaven and in earth. So because of that, go therefore. What does that mean? That means, hey, it's mine to give. I'm giving it to you. Now go and do. Amen? You see, this morning we need to understand that we have been given the power of intercession, and we need to be operating in the power of intercession. So how are we to do that? How does that work in our day-to-day lives? Well, I want us to look today at Joel chapter 2. And I want us to look at verse 12 and 13. It says, yet now declares the Lord, return to me with all of your heart, with fasting, weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. It's time for the church to stop playing church. Let your heart be broken and torn for the situation and intercede, amen? It can't be this fluffy little stuff. How many knows you got to live it out? You got to speak it out. And it can't just be in words. It has to be in words and in deed. We got to put our faith into action, right? You see, we're called to do more than just lip service. We're called to do more than just church service. Come on, somebody. You see, this morning we're called to that position of power of intercession. And when we do that, we have to know that there are some specific things that we need to do. And that power of intercession begins when we serve the Lord, or we come to him. We live for him with all of our heart, as verse 12 says. It's everything that we are, our complete entire being, not a portion or a place missing. It's living and working for the Lord in perfect harmony. Again, inside of our mind, our will, our emotions, our body, our soul, our spirit. It's all of it coming into alignment and agreement with who he is for his purpose for right now. It's being sold out and not a sellout. Amen? It's being sold out this morning. In that, again, we need to understand that it's being completely sold out to his kingdom and his kingdom agenda. It's not ours, it's his. It's not promoting what we think is best. It's promoting what he has already declared is best. In that, we're called to do so, at least from Joel, in three specific ways. Number one, in fasting. Everybody's favorite F word. Sorry, I didn't think about that before I said it. And I've already learned that Stormy won't edit things out, so that's already there. Forgive me, online service, all right? Forgive me, congregation. To fast just simply means that we are choosing to abstain from food. And not because we need to lose weight, not because we have to have blood work done the next day. Come on, for some of y'all, that's the only time you think about fasting. But that's not what we're called to do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, he didn't say if you fast, he said, when you fast, meaning that there should be a moment or moments when you fast, amen? It's not a matter of just when it's convenient or, again, when you got to go have blood work done, all right? It's taking and looking at the situation and the severity of the situation and knowing that that is something we're called to as a weapon of warfare within our Christian and spiritual walk, amen? You see, fasting basically places our flesh under subjection to where the emphasis can be on our spirit man, or our spirit man can be made more alive or come to life. And so what happens is the things of the flesh begin to decrease and the awareness of the spiritual begins to increase. And that is why we need to fast, amen? To continually decrease the flesh and increase the spiritual awareness, amen? The second thing is it says that we are to be weeping. Here that means continually full of continual humility, if you will. We know that in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says that if my people will what? Humble themselves, right? Humility is the very first step. It says humble, and then after we humble ourselves, then it's pray, seek, turn, right? Then God will forgive, or hear, forgive, and heal. How many knows the forgiveness and the healing are hinging first on our humility? We want God to heal our land, but we don't want to get humble. We want God to just begin to fix everything, but we don't want to fix ourselves first. We don't want to submit to his word. We don't want to be humble. We don't want to pray. We don't want to seek his face, and we sure don't want to fast. The third thing is mourning. It means wailing and contrition. Basically, what that means is crying out with regret, remorse, and repentance. When is the last time that you were so disturbed in your spirit that you actually began to wail? You begin to cry out in regret, remorse, or repentance. Well, I don't have anything to repent for. How many knows that we can look through the Word of God and see men and women all throughout the entire Bible who in that moment were so stirred and so under the conviction of what God was doing at that moment, what he needed to do, or the distance that his people were from him? And how many know sometimes it was just one who would cry out and repent for the entire nation? But how many knows God hears that one? Amen? God always leaves a remnant. And he hears and he's willing to relent, but we have to be willing to repent. Amen? Because regret and remorse, it happened. I'm so sorry it happened. Remorse, you know, we're sorry for the way things turned out. But repentance says, hey, you know what? I am so sorry that I'm going to change my thought. I'm going to change my heart. I'm going to change directions to make sure that this never happens again. I'm going to submit, and I'm going to take on a burden that maybe I'm not guilty of, but God, I'm going to stand in the gap for my generation. God, I'm going to stand in the gap for my city, for my family, for whatever it is, because Lord, I believe you've given me the power of intercession. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10 says, God designed us to feel remorse over sin in order to produce repentance that leads to victory. How many knows when we're willing to humble ourselves and repent, there will be victory. There will be that healing. There will be that transformation. You see, there is power and continually abiding in God through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. There is this morning power in fasting by starving the flesh and feeding the Spirit. There is power in weeping when we choose to live continually in humility. There is power this morning in mourning when we choose to cry out with repentance. But are we going to step up to the plate? If you would stand with me this morning. Will we be the remnant? Because how many knows in the carpet business, there's remnant pieces that get saved and then there's rejects that get thrown away. And that sounds harsh this morning, and I don't mean that, but as we will move on, how many knows there's a difference between a sheep and a goat? Come on now, that's what the word says. So there's a difference between a remnant and a reject. So are we going to stand up this morning, and are we going to be that remnant? Will we be the reflection of the original so that everybody knows what they should be patterned after? Will we live in the empowerment that we have been given? Will we intercede for others as we have been called to intercede for them? Regardless of if we feel like they're worthy or unworthy. Because again, at some time, we were unworthy. And if it were not for Jesus Christ, his blood, his favor, his grace, his mercy, his forgiveness. Amen. This morning, I want us to walk away from this service not feeling like Pastor John was a real big jerk, which if you may, I can't control that. I pray blessings upon you anyhow. I want us to walk away challenged. I want us to walk away not just challenged, but I want us to walk away charged. Because I believe today that our place of intercession is for such a time as this. I believe that our position of intercession should be relentless in this very moment. I believe that our power of intercession should be displayed through faithfulness, through fasting, through humility, and through repentance. I believe it starts with us, church. You can clap or not clap. It does not change the truth of God's word this morning, and I'm not looking for applause. So we just need to understand that this is a moment of challenge. We're standing at a crossroads within our country and within the world at large. We are closer to the return of Jesus Christ than we have ever been before. And we need to quit playing games. Wherever we have gone and buried that which God has given, today we need to go dig that up and we need to begin to invest it back into the kingdom because time is short. We need to redeem the time that we have been given as the body of Christ today. Amen? You see, God is always faithful to do his part. He always keeps a remnant. He always empowers that remnant. So let us be found faithful as we become that remnant. Father, I thank you this morning. God, I thank you that your word will awaken our hearts and our minds. God, that it will bring life to our spiritual conscience. God, that we may not sit and be idle, but God, that we would arise and be active for your kingdom and that which you have called us to do. God, help us to understand our place of intercession. God, it is for such a time as this, for right now. God, help us to understand that our position, our posture should be one of intercession. God, that we should be in use of the power of intercession that you have given us. God, don't let us fail. Lord, I don't want to be the servant, Lord, who failed you in investing what you have placed in me into your kingdom today.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.